You're in the loop. We're here to discuss the ups, downs, and sideways of the sport of figure skating and maybe give you plus 5 GOE along the way. Let's introduce today's hosts.
Hi, I'm Carr, and I know we still have Junior Worlds left, but I cannot wait for this season to be over so that we all can relax. Everyone, even the skaters.
Hello, I'm Kat, and I concur. I'm exhausted.
Sounds like you need to relax in the off-season.
You have no idea. I mean, like, our last recorded episode was the Paris episode from the Olympics.
Which was us.
I know, and the high that we experienced there, it is, like, all deflated now.
But anyways, this is our Worlds episode. Post-Olympic Worlds are always a time.
Indeed. I think that we're all aware that post-Olympic Worlds can be a great place to shake up the placements, considering a lot of the Olympic team, Olympic medalists choose not to go to Worlds or aren't assigned to Worlds. I mean, the Olympics are so exhausting and such an experience for a lot of these skaters, so it's very common for them to just skip it because they're, like, still recovering from the high of the Olympics.
It is a really nice opportunity to see some skaters you might not know from those teams as much, like the alternates who are sent.
Right. And there's definitely no shortage of high tension, high drama at these Worlds as well. And just a little content warning for this episode that we are going to be having discussions on head injury, concussion, panic disorder, as well as the situation in Ukraine, the war in Ukraine. So with that, I think it's impossible to discuss this Worlds without bringing up the fact that the Russian and Belarusian athletes were banned from competing at these Worlds due to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. It was really, I have to say, really heartwarming and really emotional. A lot of people were wearing hearts with the Ukrainian flag in the Kiss and Cry, a lot of skaters, and apparently some volunteers were handing out Ukrainian flags for the audience members to hold up for the Ukrainian skaters. I'm not really sure if that was, like, an organizing thing or if that was just maybe a fan that organized that, but that was just, like, a really nice gesture of support, and it seemed like the audience was pretty full. It's one of the more packed events we've seen, so it was really, I'm sure it must have been really, really heartwarming for the Ukrainian athletes to see that show of support, considering, I mean, Russia invaded Ukraine literally, like, 3 days, within, like, 3 days or 4 days of the Olympics ending. So it literally was, like, the end of the Olympics, and then it happened, and up until now, the conflict is still going on, and a lot of these athletes were displaced from their homes, and, you know, having to train and thinking about, you know, skating and training while your home is under siege is just something that a lot of people, I think, can't fathom. So, yeah, the ISU banned the Russian athletes, but at the same time, there were also some controversial decisions made by the ISU regarding skaters' costumes, like Ivan Shmyrako's short program costume. He literally didn't have a costume, like he couldn't get a costume. So he wore his training gear, and it was a Ukrainian training shirt embroidered with the blue and yellow heart, and one judge flagged it as a costume violation, which is like, to that one judge, are you paying attention?
Yeah. Do you know what's happening?
Right. I want to hope that they saw the backlash to that decision and the other Ukrainian skaters who chose to skate in their training gear didn't get those deductions.
Also, with this Worlds, we saw some controversy over the official ISU commentary from Simon Reed and Nikki Slater, which, honestly, we've seen a lot of comments from them that people haven't really been a fan of, but on this, at the Paris event specifically, they were consistently misgendering Timothy LeDuc. They, you know, made gross comments on Paragirl's weight, and then the real nail in the coffin of this happening was at the end of the Paris short program, they used incredibly derogatory and rude language to refer to Megan Duhamel, who was a part of the coaching team for Riku Miura and Ryuichi Kihara from Japan.
Yeah, and that comment was spoken onto a hot mic.
Yeah, it was not off, and everyone heard it.
Yeah, it was very clear that that was not meant to be broadcast, but...
But needless to say, because it was so clearly heard, everyone caught wind of it, and the ISU made a statement, you know, saying that they had been suspended. They are planning to do an investigation of sorts into it.
It just feels like they're sorry they got caught kind of thing. So we have to do something because we got caught.
Especially since the ISU only commented on what they said about Megan. None of their other things, you know, such as the misgendering of Timothy Ledoux. And then they were subsequently replaced by Ted Barton of Junior Grand Prix fame.
Ted Barton has his own share of commentary issues, but... Why didn't they just ditch the commentary period? I was really, really sad that Peacock usually has a commentary-free version, and this time they did not. And they also took down the Pairs short broadcast, and I had to go find it on the ISU YouTube page, apparently because of the commentary issue, and... I was like, why don't they just re-upload it without the commentary?
I know.
I couldn't watch a lot of these events live because I was at work. Like, these European time zones are really hard if you're working.
Yeah, exactly. It's like straight during the workday in the US.
It's straight during the workday, right. So unless I'm at my desk, like, and I can, like, secretly watch and I'm not, like, in meetings or something, like, I can't watch these events live.
Let's get started on the actual results.
Yeah.
Which is what everyone's here for. That gold medal. Yeah, starting with Paris. Paris was so weird. It was so empty.
Really empty. It's been a while since we've had a Paris field this small. By the end of the free skate, we were down to 12 Paris that finished the free skate. Usually a full flight of Paris competition free skate is like 16 Paris.
We had no Russian Paris because of the lack of Russian athletes. We sadly had no Chinese Paris. The Spanish pairs team, Laura Barquero and Marco Zandron, were absent. Rebecca Gilardi and Filippo Ambrosini were not there because Rebecca Gilardi tested positive for COVID. So, yeah, we didn't even get a full flight of 16 pairs. Two teams withdrew after the short program, one of whom was Sofia Holochenko and Artem Derensky from Ukraine, citing the lack of training, the war disrupted their lives after the Olympics.
Right, yeah. And they had actually, like, changed their short program last minute to a song called Jiva. And they said that they skated the short program hoping to inspire the Ukrainian people with Ukrainian music. And, like, watching them, I felt really emotional again just because you could tell that it wasn't about, like, the scores. They basically had no training before this. I think it also, like, took them 6 days to get to France, and they did all doubles. It clearly looked like an intentional, they doubled everything, their twists, side-by-side jumps, throws.
It's more about the performance.
Right, they were selling everything. They really, like, were putting their heart into this performance, and honestly, they deserved nines in performances.
It gives me chills.
Yeah.
It was about performing for Ukraine.
Right, and, like, bring spirit and show that, like, the Ukrainians were fighting in every front. Like, they would fight for this.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they were pushing through.
Right, yeah. And they withdrew from the free skate, unfortunately, because of, like, a lack of training. And, you know, pairs is so dangerous. So doing a 4-minute free without training would be pretty risky for them.
And speaking of pairs being dangerous, we want to talk about Ashley Kane-Gribble and Timothy Ledoux.
Right, our second withdrawal after the short program, but during competition. This was rough. This was really, really hard. I actually wasn't able to watch most of the pairs free live. I didn't get to catch most of it. I was in meetings, like, all day, all afternoon. And I just tuned in basically right after Mira and Kihara skated. And I basically tuned in to the free skate just as she had fallen on the side-by-side sal.
So just, we just didn't mention it. Ashley during the free skate took two hard falls, once on the side-by-side triple loop, another on the throw triple lutz, and then the hard fall was the side-by-side sals.
Yeah, it looks like she hit her chin when she fell on the sal. And, you know, she looked pretty out of it. It looked like she was trying to get up and then collapsed.
It took her a few seconds to get up, which is incredibly alarming.
And she just looked really dazed. And, you know, they stopped the music. They got a stretcher on the ice. Pretty timely. More definitely on the timelier side. It honestly just goes back to our discussion on the pairs episode that I talked about why I didn't really care for the quad revolution in pairs, just because, I mean, pairs is so dangerous for women in general. They're the only skaters that are being tossed 5 to 6 meters into the air multiple times in a single program, right? You have the twist and the throw. Those are two must-have elements.
The lifts themselves, even though they're not being thrown, they are so high up.
Exactly. And of course, that's not to say that the other disciplines don't have that risk, but imagine yourself being tossed and twirled 5 to 6 meters in the air, landing on ice.
You have to have almost insane courage to be able to sign up for this, I think.
I mean, there is just a running joke that pair girls are made of something special.
And I really think that they are.
You have to be some level of insane to be a pair girl. And for Ashley, this is already her second high profile head injury. I say high profile, but I mean that highly publicized, I should say.
Yeah, that we know of.
Right. These were injuries that she incurred in competition. And just imagine, I'm just trying to imagine the things that they go through just in training that we aren't privy to, that all the pair girls aren't, have to go through, that we aren't privy to. And in talking about that, I think it's also worth discussing Kirsten Moore Towers. And she commented on why she decided not to compete at Worlds here and instead having Evelyn Walsh and Trent Michaud take their spot. And she basically said that she had developed a panic disorder last summer doing the triple twist. And they just didn't practice the element for 2 months. And she did a double twist in the beginning of the season just because they didn't practice it. She said that she had to pull over on the side of the road one time and call her coach because she was having a panic attack. And to be a pair girl, you have to be literally fearless. You know, any small amount of hesitation will mess with your performance in competition. And that is essentially what happened with Mortaras and Marinaro this entire season. Mortaras and Marinaro they've never been super consistent, but they never looked so shaky.
They can perform.
Right. They have looked just nervy, I would say, mm-hmm. this entire season. But especially in Beijing. That's why I had mentioned before, in our pairs Olympic episode, that why I was so nervous about the quad twist, just because that additional rotation can add even more risk, the speed is required to go through. And it's why I don't really care for the quad revolution happening, really, in pairs, because the level of danger that these girls are in without any responsibility taken from the ISU to put any measure of safety protocols into protecting them, just even in competition or in training, is just frankly dangerous.
Yeah, it is dangerous to these girls, especially since pairs girls, all skating, they start out young. There are young girls in incredible danger. To Kirsten Moore Towers, I have a lot of respect for her for speaking out on this, and I'm hoping that, you know, one, it reassures, you know, other pairs women who probably go through similar things with all the danger they're in, all the risk that it poses. You know, I hope it kind of reassures them, and I also hope it brings about more care for the technical elements of pairs. Our gold medalists are Alexa Knierim and Brandon Fraser from the US. Our silver medalists are Riku Miura and Ryuichi Kihara from Japan. And our bronze medalists are Vanessa James and Eric Radford from Canada. This was talked about a lot. This was America's first Paris gold medal since 1979.
I mean, it was always the Russians' event. The Russians and the Chinese. So, like...
It checks out. But, like, that's still really cool. I think Alexa Kinnear might be one of, like, the strongest human beings on Earth. She's been through a lot. Had, you know, potentially career-ending surgery back in 2016 and had to work with... Chris Kinnear, her former partner and husband, you know, to get back up there. I'm very impressed by her.
Yeah, she has a lot of mental fortitude. Like, it's pretty impressive. I know that she also had, like, a potentially career-ending surgery, I think, back in 2016 or 2017.
She's had a lot of ups and downs.
And Brandon's always been pretty solid, and, you know, they're still a pretty young team, so pretty impressive that they're able to make it this far.
Just to fact check it, in 2016, Alexa was diagnosed with a very serious gastrointestinal condition. She went through 3 surgeries. To see her come back from that and, you know, make it to Paris Gold, you know, with a different partner. Her husband is part of her coaching team. You know, I'm glad for her, especially since Kinnearum and Fraser have turned out to be pretty solid for, you know, a new team. I think I'd mentioned this in the Olympics episode, but they're still on a rise, and I have a feeling we'll continue to see them at least near the top, you know, comparative to Russian and Chinese pairs.
I mean, they're about to get the world champions boost, so...
Yup, that's true. Yeah, let's talk about silver.
My children. Our children.
The shining lights of Paris.
Yeah. I say children, but only Riku is younger than us, and Ryuichi is, like, nearly 30, so...
Yeah, so our silver medalist, Riku Ryu... for short, from Japan. They got silver, which we're obviously delighted to see.
I am just so impressed with the way that they perform, especially Riku. This was definitely one of their roughest competitions this season. / the roughest competition, I think, this season. Yeah. And I just think that they're so, so special and unique in the way that Riku especially doesn't let mistakes hamper her performance, and that is, like, the number one thing. I, like, don't care if you fall in literally everything, but you are still selling your performance to me. I don't care. Do not care at all. And that's what she does. Like, she definitely had some issues with her jumps here in the free skate, and she stepped out and almost fell on some of her throws. But the way she fights for the landing, oh my god, that throw lutz.
She is a warrior.
I mean, she did the same thing basically at the Olympics too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just about to bring that up. The crazy, insane save.
Yeah, and they have such speed and the impressive transitions, like that lunge out of the lift. Just so, so, so impressive, and I honestly couldn't be more thrilled for them.
They are really, and deservedly so, building a name for themselves in Paris, and I am just so happy for it. I think, like, an interview came out, like, just recently that, like, Ryuichi said, like, he wants to go with Riku for, like, he's like, I'll last for, like, the next 2 Olympics with her because I want to go with her, and I was like, good, I'm here for it, let's go, you are such a special team.
Right, he said that he was never going to find another partner like her, and I know exactly what she means, because she is fearless, and she can perform, and she's such a fighter. Like, I'm just, oh, it honestly warms my heart so much, and I know I say this all the time, but I just, like, I think about how she looks up to Wenjing so much.
I know, and it shows.
It just shows so much, like, how much she, because those are all of the things that made me fall in love with Wenjing too, is just her fierceness, her performance, and just her energy and her fortitude is just... Oh, second to none.
They got Japan 3 pair spots when, like, not too long ago we were like, what is Japan going to do with their 1 pair spot? I think they're also just being generally very inspiring for Japanese pairs.
Yep, and I really hope now this will be a wake-up call considering World is in Saitama next year. Maybe start investing in your pears and dance, please.
Yeah, Japan could really afford to show some support to pears and dance as well.
Aside from all this, I'm just all really, really glad to see that Ryuichi is such a supportive partner, because, and Bruno as well was extremely supportive of
and Megan obviously loves them.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. But yeah, they were really supportive of her. She definitely looked really dejected after her performances, you know, because of the jump issue and the wonk throw. And she looked really, really sad at the end of the free skate. And it, like, I think that she was just afraid that she had, like, lost their podium spot. But they hung on by the skin of their teeth. It just really warmed my heart to see that, like, Ryuichi and Bruno were being really, really supportive. It's been a long season for them. And they should be, again, really, really proud. They finished on the podium at every single event except for the Olympics. That's insane.
And even at the Olympics, they did incredibly well.
Yeah. They placed seventh. They had a top 10 finish at the Olympics. Like, and that the Paris Olympics event was just skated so insanely well. So they should be really, really proud of themselves. And yeah, finally, I mean, Vanessa and Eric... I mean, this. I don't know what else to say besides this was definitely their best showing this season. But it was a pretty low bar considering they did not really perform that well otherwise.
They just managed to do it at this time.
Their lifts looked better here than other comps, I'd say. My main thing is, like, I'm always terrified that Eric's back is going to go out or something when in the lifts, because he always looks so shaky lifting her, but they looked better here. Which is good. I like not having to fear for the woman's life in lifts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then also, just to talk about some other faves, Safina and Berulava, they had a really, really impressive showing, both here and the Olympics. They, honestly, it's crazy to me that Georgia is rising really well in all four disciplines. We have, you know, we have Gubanova, Morrissey, and then Kazakova and Revia.
They're all kind of making names for themselves, if in different ways.
Honestly, I'm always really impressed that they have really great speed and they have really, really good height on their twist and throws. Like, the catch can sometimes be a bit low, but the height is super impressive. So... you know, looking forward to seeing how they grow. And especially if the ban on Russian athletes continues into the season next year, you know, there's a lot of room for a lot of teams to move up.
We also want to shout out to Zoe Jones and Chris Boyaji. Zoe and Chris are retiring at age 42 and 31, respectively. Zoe Jones has, like, always been impressive to me.
Right? She said that she would keep going, but Chris is the one that wants to retire. And they're both going to become coaches. I think that Zoe said that she has, that her twin daughters are skating, so they can carry on her legacy.
Their mother is a legend.
Yeah, I mean, she really gives me Aliona Savchenko vibes, who's just like, retirement who?
Like we said, Paris women, something different.
Yeah, especially considering how, like, how hard it was for them to secure training, and funds for them, and she still wants to keep going, just, like, yeah, that's true love right there for the sport, so.
I think she's also very inspiring for going so long in, you know, in an underfunded situation. So, yeah, now we get to talk about the best podium.
Woo! I think I was most excited to see the podium shakeup for this, because the Russian hegemony over this event was...
Yeah, so it's the women. I think we can all agree this was our favorite podium.
After the disaster of the Beijing women's competition, really.
We would like to mention some news that came out. Anastasia Shabatova, Russian-born, representing Ukraine, her mother's native country, was slated to appear at this Worlds, and she withdrew. It was recently revealed that she had been expelled from the Ukrainian national team for liking a pro-invasion Instagram post. We just wanted to mention that as something that happened.
Yeah, she's 16 years old, so I don't feel really comfortable just mentioning anything too deep into it.
Yeah, kind of turning it against her, because we don't know the situation.
Right, right. It's a really tough situation in general. So, obviously, our medalists, we had Kaori Sakamoto from Japan, our world champion.
Oh, it sounds so right.
Right? World champion Kaori Sakamoto. Finally. Mm-hmm. Should have already had a world medal by this point. And then silver, Luna Hendricks from Belgium. And bronze, Alyssa Liu from the U.S.
My story about Kaori, about Kaori's free skate is I didn't watch a lot of the events live. Because I was like, I'm not going to put myself through this. And especially with the women's free skate, I was like, I'm not going to watch Kaori. I'm just going to see the results. And I was in the drive-thru of McDonald's picking up food for my family. And then I was like, I got out and I was like, oh, it's about time for Kaori to go. Shoot, I really want to watch it. So I pulled into the McDonald's parking lot, downloaded the Peacock app on my phone, logged in, failed to log in like 3 times because I had the wrong password, logged in just in time for it, cried in the McDonald's parking lot. That's my story.
Beautiful. Oh, man.
Worth it. My food was cold when I got home. Worth it.
Yeah, I was watching this on the end of my workday on my phone. But, because again, I only caught the last couple of skaters for a couple events, the ones that happened during the day. But truly, just, I am just so impressed with Kaori's consistency. Like, I remember early on in the season being so worried for her because she was just competing back to back to back constantly. And I thought that she was going to be so burned out by the time the Olympics rolled around, but she's, like, completely nailed her programs for a good chunk of the season.
She has been so on.
Right? From her, like, she was the only non-Russian to qualify for the Grand Prix final, and then she did so well at Nats, and, you know, she's national champion.
And she crushed the Olympics.
Yeah, both in the team event and, you know, the individual event. Obviously, she was so shocked that she actually made it onto the podium.
Even though it was very deserved.
Right. Super deserved. I mean, it does also beg the question because she's finally getting scores that she deserves. But, like, is this rise in scores because of her consistency?
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I'm inclined to think it's, you know, it's taken her a while to get here.
Right. And if that is the case, then this is, I don't agree with consistency being a measure of, you know, a performance on the day.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she deserves these scores whenever she performs like that.
She absolutely deserves her win here. I don't even know what to say. I'm just, like, elated for her. And I think just, like, seeing the reaction on her face, like, she's obviously not used to it because the Russian girls have been dominating for so long. Like, I think that everyone else has just kind of been resigned to kind of making it on the podium out of, you know, because of things that are out of their control. But yeah, her reaction, just, she is such an emotional person, just for better or worse. You can always, she wears her heart on her sleeve. And, you know, I remember, unfortunately, back in 2019 when I saw her at Four Continents, and she was the last skater, and she didn't do that well in her free skate, and she missed the podium, and she was just, like, sobbing in the kiss and cry. And that memory of her just crying in the kiss and cry as the event was ending was just, like, burned into my memory. Oh my god, it just made me so, so bummed. But I was so, so glad to see her cry such happy tears here, and after her skate and during the victory ceremony, like, especially considering the circumstances of her bronze medal at the Olympics.
I think we are, like, even we ourselves were resigned to her not getting on that podium.
It's just so satisfying to see her, because she knew that she nailed it, and she knew that she won.
I have never seen such an ecstatic fist pump at the end of a program. Like you said, she's been really consistent this season. I feared for, like, the pressure she felt going into the free skate, because, you know, she knew that, you know, without Russia, this was her shot at getting gold, and it would make her the first Japanese woman to win since Mao, back in 2014. I was, you know, not that I thought the pressure would get to her. I just didn't want her to feel the pressure, you know? But she talked about it, and I was just so proud of her for pulling through.
And the pressure to secure a 3 spot for the Japanese women.
Yes. Yeah, you could see her in the Kiss and Cry making sure that, like, confirming that it would get her 3 spots.
Right, right.
And that just, like, pulls at my heartstrings.
I know. This poor girl.
Because, like, you know, like we said, it's pretty likely that her consistency has been a big part of her actually getting those scores, you know, so she's had to work really hard to get that consistency, you know, and get up there, and I'm just so happy for her and proud of her. World champion Kaori Sakamoto is actually something that can be so personal.
Truly. Oh, man. Just very satisfying ending. And Luna Hendricks, we have to say.
Kind of a surprise. Like, a good surprise. Not only the first Belgian woman to win a world championship medal, but she is the first Belgian figure skater to win a world championship medal since 1948, which was a Paris team. 1948.
Yeah. 74 years.
She was sobbing happy tears in that Kiss and Cry with her team, which includes her brother, Yorick. That was very, very heartening to see. You know, we love happy tears.
I remember seeing her in GP Italy in the press conferences, and she did really well at GP Italy as well. And it just seems like she and Yorick have a really, really great relationship.
Yeah, it seems that she has a good support system from both him and the other part of her coaching team.
Right, yeah. And she was also injured going into the World Championships. And for her to put those skates out while she was injured is, wow. Respect.
And she's been getting a lot of, with that, and, you know, she performed pretty well, I think, at the Olympics. She's been picking up a lot of momentum. I think I would say she's the top non-Russian European lady right now.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I don't really like, her free program is horrible.
Gives me secondhand embarrassment.
I would really like to see her kind of attack next season with, you know, a good set of programs, you know, momentum and confidence from a good season. Yeah, I think I have a lot of hope and excitement for her. I think she's a good performer, like, when it's a good program.
Yeah, and she's still 22 years old, which is crazy that is considered a quote-unquote old skater for the women's discipline.
The gold and silver medalists are both above 20. Can you believe it?
Considering the narrative that we've been fed for so long that women's champions, once you reach 18, you're considered old for the women's discipline.
And then finally, rounding out our podium is the sunshine of women's figure skating, Alyssa Liu from the U.S. Their first world championships, and, you know, it's her senior debut season. Crushed it at the Olympics, bronze medal. The first Worlds, I am so happy.
They've definitely had such a, you know, a tumultuous season.
So many ups and downs.
Yeah, I mean, especially in light of the recent news that we found out about her family, they've really pulled it together for these world championships, and I'm so, so happy for them. Honestly, of the podium, she has my 2 favorite set of programs. I think that she has just made leaps and bounds in her performance, especially.
And, like, they seem to have, like, grown a new, like, great love for skating. And I think it kind of shows in their performances.
She's so much fun. Honestly, I'm so glad that she ended up still skating to her Loco. Her Loco exhibition that she just whipped up with John Luke, like, a day before the gala.
They're like, I have fun with this, so I'm going to do it.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
And we have a good time.
Yes.
Itzy representation.
I mean, Itzy noticed them, so.
That's true. Legend. So,
yeah, what a legend. What a legend.
On April 9th, Alyssa Liu announced their retirement from competitive figure skating. You know, just said, like, you know, she's accomplished, you know, a lot, and she feels satisfied with how her skating career has gone, and, you know, they want to move on to, you know, different things. And we really support her and, you know, all she does.
I just think that it's really admirable for her to have, you know, kind of decided on this on her own, and for her to, like, have determined this. Like, you know, she reached her goal, and there's nothing else she wanted to do in skating besides make the Olympics. And, you know, she's 16 years old. She's got such a bright future ahead of her that, you know, and I'm glad that she's retiring from skating, you know, in a place where she seems really satisfied with what she's accomplished, where she is, like, her relationship to the sport and the relationship to, like, the skating community as well, so.
I think it speaks to, like, you know, that they have a good relationship with skating. Like, you know, they don't feel pressured to continue. You know, she doesn't, you know, feel any shame about retiring at a, you know, quote-unquote young age. I feel like, you know, there might be talk about how, like, you know, a little bit of judgment that she retired. So, you know, like I said, quote-unquote young. But like you said, like, you know, she did it herself. She came to this decision herself. That's, like, you know, really inspiring, honestly. But yeah, the women's podium was stellar. Other happenings from the women's event. Korea has finally qualified 3 spots. This is possibly the best figure skating news this entire season because the Korean women's field is just so insanely amazing.
Oh my god, thank god. Like, we all breathed when we finally found out that Korea and Japan secured 3 spots for the women next year at Worlds. Yeah, so Young, she was pretty rough, I'd have to say, but I honestly was expecting her to completely burn out by this point. I was shocked that she made it through the Olympics in one piece because she was looking like she was burning out with all of the competition.
Haeyeon was so good, but her tech, or like her score,
they nerfed her.
Yeah, I don't know what they had against her, but
oh my god, I was so sad when I saw her reaction in the kiss and cry. She was just like, what? What happened?
The fact that she's just not, she doesn't have a reputation yet internationally, even though she got like a silver at 4 continents, right? Like,
yeah,
hold on, but she was a last minute replacement, right? She was a last minute replacement for Yelim.
But yeah, Haeyeon, like you said, you know, Haeyeon really does not have a reputation internationally yet, which, like, I feel like she should, you know, like you said, 4 continents silver, and, like, you know, she's training a triple axel. But yeah, at Worlds in her free skate, which was, like, really good, she got an edge call, and the 4 cues in the edge call for the flip dropped her score over 10 points plus 64 PCS, you know. Because, like, you know, Haeyeon was, you know, the replacement for Yelim after the Olympics. I just want to, like, they are all three, like, you know, Yelim, Young, and Haeyeon are all very good. Not to mention, you know, other Korean girls who are great. I'm just, like, I don't want Haeyeon to be pushed aside for Young and Yelim, who were both at the Olympics and did really well, you know.
Yeah, well, either way, I think that at the end of the day, I'm just really glad that there's a competition for top Korean lady, and we do have 3 spots next year at Worlds, so if those 3 could all feasibly go together next year. So that's, yeah, that's really exciting. But, yeah, I just remember being, like, so excited for Haeyeon, and she looked so excited after her free skate was done, and then her scores.
Like, the fact that she was so, like, clearly confused at her score.
I mean, yeah.
Speaks to a bit.
Yeah,
she's like, man, I just went out there and killed it. What do you mean?
It is also worth mentioning that with Haeyeon's 7th place and Young's 5th place at Worlds, it's, like, the first time that 2 Korean women have finished in the top 10 at Worlds, so. Also, despite Young not having the best free skate, she was 6th in the free skate, but she was 5th overall. Even despite, you know, the under rotations, and she was, I just need to emphasize how exhausted she must have been doing all these competitions back to back, the Olympics, like Korean Nationals, 4 continents. It's still really impressive finish. So excited to see where the Korean women go from here.
But at least she performed well.
She's performed really well, and I'm so excited to see her continue, honestly. I know.
God, Korean ladies.
And that's without the triple axel. She didn't put a triple axel in her program, so we'll see. It's crazy that there are so many Korean women that are training triple axels.
We also have Gubanova. She worked her way up to 6th. Yeah, she was in 14th. She stayed in 1st for a long time after her free skate.
Honestly, she probably could have placed even higher than 6th, but, you know.
Considering she gets PCS nerfed.
Yeah, PCS nerfed and also skating earlier nerfed. So, again, Georgian skaters are rising through the ranks. But yeah, her musicality is just truly, she is such a delicate and nuanced performer, and I just love how musical she is. So excited to see her as well.
Maddie Skeezus, once again, proving that she is a really, you know, reliable competitor for Canada. Kind of that guiding light of Canadian women's skating right now. Still really proud of her and sending her a lot of support because Canada does not respect her.
It's not like Canada really has a thriving field in any discipline right now.
They have fallen from grace.
And then, obviously, we gotta talk about Wakaba, my daughter.
God, heartbreaking.
I can't with her. I can't with her PCS scoring ever.
It's some of the most egregious of, like, all of skating.
It's just... she performed so well at the Olympics, and, you know, it's just the disrespect that they show her. Just, like, it's not even just the PCS, though. It's the fact that she does have the technical... like, she has a triple axel. She has the best triple axel of the women's field. And even then, they still won't score her, like, above 74. It's just, like... what are we even doing here? We have a skater that can put together the technical and the PCS, and the disrespect that they show her by scoring her like that is just... She didn't have the triple axel here, but in her short program, she popped her triple axel into a double. But honestly, it was a good double. I don't think it deserved, like... -3, -4 GOE on that double. And then they also called her flip edge as per usual. Like, it was honestly a great performance. I don't know why they scored it like that. They gave her a 67. Like, come on! They gave her a 32 in PCS. That's just...
she should never get that low.
I mean, even the Japanese judge who gave her like a 34 PCS, honestly, she's a 36 plus skater. It's just that, like, the way that she scored, she's talked about feeling dejected. I don't like projecting my own feelings on skaters, but she has liked social media posts, you know, citing feeling some unfairness about, you know, various different things. And it's just, like, to compete at a top level, you have to have some sort of motivation. And if you're still putting everything you can out, and being, you know, not rewarded for it, it's so demoralizing.
I'm, like, sadly impressed that she, you know, still gives her all in the face of such horrible disrespect.
Right. And she's also been fighting a shin injury as well, she said, since the Olympics. So she's been really holding it together. I think it was a good thing that she didn't put the triple axel in the short. Unfortunately, she fell on it in the free. It's just so sad to me that... she knows that if she skates really well, she's still going to get nerfed. But then if she doesn't skate well, they're going to bury her into the ground. So
she still has her motivation, which I'm so happy for. She said her goal for next season is to win nationals. She's coming with two new programs.
I believe in you.
I really do.
And then, you know, talking about Japanese ladies that got buried again. Mana, she... at least she did better here than she did at the Olympics. Her free skate is definitely one of the best women's free skates of the entire field, in my opinion.
Some would say of this quad.
Yeah, she's kept it for two seasons now, so I don't think she's going to go back to it. Usually, you know, Hamada skaters usually don't keep their programs, but I guess because last year's season was so abbreviated. And it's a great program, so. Yeah, I'm excited to see her grow as well. And what I hope is that she doesn't feel bad about having some weak performances towards the end of the season. It's been really long for her, too, because I know that, you know, there's also a little bit of, like, discussion of whether they should have sent Mai over her, but I think she earned her spot fair and square, and I really love her performance. She has great skating skills, of great ice coverage, really beautiful transitions, also has a triple axel, so...
I guess just off the podium, we should talk about Mariah Bell. Mariah, she got third in the short program with a kind of wonky triple-triple. You know, that's been her, I guess one of her like biggest goals, I guess, is to get that triple-triple into her program because it's kind of been eluding her, even though she got a Q on her triple flip, triple toe in the short program. It you know, got her third place in, after the short program. I don't know how, if I agree with, like, her components in particular, just in comparison to some of the other skaters, especially since, like, you know, like, she finished above, like, Gubanova and Han and Karen components. It's, like...
I feel like it's kind of a product of, like, her... She's been getting a reputation. A good one, I should say.
What can you do? I mean, components... These days, we know that, like, components should be judged in a certain way that they aren't, and are mostly kind of just a reflection of who has political favor within the most powerful federations. So, I mean, it's just a discussion that we've had over and over. It feels like beating a dead horse, but, you know, it certainly is frustrating, though, when you see it play out in real time, and... You see more deserving skaters from lesser known federations or smaller federations getting shafted in favor of skaters from or prominent skaters from larger, more powerful federations. What can you do? I don't know. Like, I feel like every single time I talk about it, I just get resigned. It's just like, it is what it is. Like, I wish I had the power to do something about it, but...
We want to mention, I know we've already talked about the three Japanese women who were here, but we have to dedicate a portion of this episode to Satoko Miyahara, who has announced her retirement. She announced it on her birthday, and obviously we're sad because she is, you know, one of the most special skaters out there, but, like... It's sort of, it's the, like, you know, don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened. Like, we were so blessed. And, the, like, you know, she's continuing on as a pro skater. But, like, God, there was no one like her. So, yeah, we just wanted to dedicate a special shout out to Satoko.
Man, Satoko is just such a special skater. I mean, she is a skater that just makes you forget that jumps exist.
No one skates, like... Intrinsic, like, you know, like the definition of skating, like, you know, glad, like, you know, skating around on the ice, no one does that like her.
I mean, she's the spin queen, the skating queen, like consistently getting level fours on her steps, and like one of the only skaters to get perfect GOE on level four spin as well. So
wasn't she like the first unanimous plus five element with her layback spin?
Yeah, perfect score.
And I think it showed how, like, you know, like, under her, she posted about it on Instagram, and there were, like, tons of comments underneath from various skaters, like, showing their appreciation for her.
She's just a skater's skater.
Yes, exactly. Like, you know, she is such an ideal for just pure skating.
She is one of the few skaters that just rendered me completely in tears watching her skate. It was at Grand Prix Final in 2018. It's the only time that I've seen Satoko skate live. And I wanted to get photos of her so bad. And I got a couple of photos, but the lighting on that rink was so bad. I think we talked about before, but the lighting was so bad. So I tried to get,
I remember that.
I tried to get as many as I could during practice. So I have like a couple of really bad, practice photos, from Grand Prix Final. But then during the competition, I mean, she had the Song of the Sparrow short program and the
gorgeous
tango free skate. Oh my God, I just remember being in tears during both of them. It was like I was clutching Gabs so hard, like we were just crying. We just did not get any photos.
Literally, oh, no one can blame you.
We were crying so hard, and yeah, unfortunately lost my chance of getting like good competition photos of Satoko, but that memory still I remember so dearly. But yeah, we love you so much. She said that she's gonna continue skating on the pro circuit. She's gonna be doing Stars on Ice in Canada, probably some more shows in Japan.
To quote, I think this was one of our old episode titles, so to quote that, everyone say thank you, Satoko.
Yes. I don't even remember what if it was in reference to, but it's always relevant.
I don't either. All right, so now we get to talk about the men, which I think the men could have gone a lot worse.
Yeah, honestly, that's what I was thinking. Considering the disaster that was Worlds 18 with the men.
Oh my God. Yeah, so in our podium, we have gold medalist Shoma Uno from Japan. Our silver medalist, Yuma Kagiyama, also from Japan, his second world silver. And in bronze, we have Vincent Zhou from USA. I believe it's also his second bronze.
Indeed it is.
So, yeah, we got some repeats here. The men's short program, if you look at, like, just looking at the short program, if you look at the standings, it was crazy. The top 18 were all above 80. The top 11 were all above 90. And we had a lot of personal bests. Free skate did not go as well, but it was good to see a good short program.
Right, yeah. I mean, like, honestly, kudos to Shoma.
Finally got that gold.
Yeah, he did. He at least did get, like, a four continents gold in 2019. And, until that point, he'd just been, like, silver cursed forever. And he's had, you know, some ups and downs in his career. And it was not looking good for him. But it seems that he's adjusted to the switch to Lambiel. And,
I was going to say, because a lot of, we were unsure about that.
Yeah, who knew, honestly. I mean, let's be real, Stefan. I don't know of any skater that would go to Stefan for jump issues, and Shoma's, one of his most glaring issues as a skater is his wonky jump landings.
Yeah, which to be fair, he is overscored for.
Oh, he definitely is. Like, his quad loop was so wonky, and it got, like, crazy geely. I was like, what? And he was also injured, like, before the Olympics. Remember he said he had a twisted ankle, so I have no idea how he landed all those jumps.
I was gonna say, but he was still able to, you know, put out a solid performance, which is impressive in its own right.
Yeah, I mean, the scoring is its own issue. Like, still, like, zero transitions. I don't like Bolero at all for him as a skater. Like, he does better with more dramatic stuff. But, yeah, but still, kudos. He had five quads. One of them was under-rotated, but putting together five quads in a program, I mean,
it's impressive in its own right.
Yeah, I mean, the landings and some are definitely dicey rotation-wise, but you can't argue that base value, unfortunately. Very impressive again, so.
Yuma, this kid is still out here crushing it.
Yeah, I mean, this time I feel like he probably felt a little bit more pressure coming in as the Olympic silver medalist.
I do think he's starting to kind of, with great results comes great pressure, responsibility, Spider-Man, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, last year he kind of said that he, like, kind of unexpectedly made the podium. He was not expecting to do so well. I mean, it was his first senior season and his first senior worlds, so.
I was going to say he's, you know, he's still 20 points above Vincent.
Yeah. It's hard to argue the results here based on the performance, really. I mean, it definitely deserved. I honestly, Yuma has just really, I mean, we've said all the time that Yuma's the greatest strength, I think, is his skating skills. His jumps are slightly better than Shoma's, but I don't know if they still deserve the same. Honestly, both of them don't deserve so much GUI on their quads.
Yeah.
That's, again, a whole other issue in and of itself. But, again, hard to argue with base value and performance on the day, so. But, yeah, I would like to see him develop his performance a little bit more.
Yeah, and I do think it'll come a bit with more experience.
I hope,
like,
so.
Like, I don't want to fault him too much for it, but it, he seems to be aware of what he needs to improve.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how he, basically where he goes from next season onward, and basically where his scores will go to, just because, again, now he's got an Olympic medal and he's got two world medals. So, but it is really, really interesting now to see, you know, all the Japanese men are scoring potential wise, the top Japanese men, there is a lot more shakeup between Yuzu winning Nats, and then Yuma placing higher than Shoma at the Olympics, and then Shoma beating Yuma. You know, there's been a lot of shakeup.
And all that time, Kazuki is there ready to sub in.
Yes, absolutely. There's been a lot of and, you know, also Kaoru Miura, we should also mention, who withdrew due to injury, and Kazuki taking over his spot as well. There's, you know, a lot of depth in the Japanese men, so it will be interesting. I'm curious to see how everything kind of shakes out.
Yeah, to see how Yuma and Shoma compare to each other. And then in bronze, as we mentioned, in bronze we have Vincent Zhou. It's really good to see him do well after the horrible heartbreak at the Olympics.
Yeah, some of the stuff that he said in his post-Olympics interviews has been really, 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 really rough to read. I almost couldn't even open them because it was... I don't think a lot of us can understand that level of loss. Like, it's just such a unique situation. I don't know anything that could prepare you for what he went through, essentially. And there's just, you know, again, a lot of stuff about his upbringing and his training situations that have been really concerning as well, and I don't know how. It was, again, really nice. I saw a video of him, like, reacting to making the podium, and I was, like, really glad that he didn't have to suffer more heartbreak. I don't know. It was just really depressing before that for him, so...
Otherwise, in the men's, if you want to have a laugh, take a look at the ordinals.
Yeah. I mean, well, the ordinals passed, like, third place, essentially.
Yeah, 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 definitely. Camden went from 12th to 5th.
And he was the only person, he was the only skater in the entire free skate to not have a single minus GOE. He was the only clean skater.
Which, like, coming from Camden, who, like... is not known for consistency or clean performances.
Yeah, I mean, he is, like, the person that, like always bombs the free, essentially. Like, if he does well in the short, then he bombs the free.
And it's, like, it's heartbreaking every time, because Camden is, like, not only is he he's a really good skater, he's very lovable.
He seems, like, really happy, like, person in general. So, yeah, I'm glad that he was able to... do well. Like, he looked really triumphant after he finished the free skate. It was, like,
he's someone you can't help but root for, you know. I hope it kind of, like, boosts his confidence. Not that I think he's a shaky person, but I still hope it, like, you know, boosts him up a bit, because he deserved to have a great free skate, and, like, he finished top five. That's really good. Like, I'm very happy for him.
I feel like he probably should have beaten out Morrissey for fourth. Like, he was third in the free, but he only beat out Morrissey's score by, like, 3 points in the free skate. Like, I honestly think that the gap should have been wider.
Like, come on, Camden is so rarely has a great free skate like that. Like,
yeah, it should have, it's just because that he was so, so low in the short program standings.
Yeah, like we said, he was in 12th.
Yeah, he was so low in the rankings comparatively, so it was gonna be harder for him to climb up again, but, you know.
But he did.
So I guess we should talk just off the podium. We have Morrissey Kvitvalashvili finishing in fourth. So, interesting scenario with Morrissey being at Worlds. You know, just we've talked a lot about the circumstances of these Worlds in light of, like, the events in Ukraine. And, you know, Morrissey represents Georgia, but his training base is, you know, in Russia with Atari Tutberidze, so
questionable decision.
Yeah, a little bit of a questionable decision to let him compete. I don't know if there's anything they can do about it officially, since of course he represents Georgia and he doesn't represent Russia, but considering the power and influence of his coach in particular in Russia, it's,
he very much benefits from that.
Yeah, and it's just, it just feels very, very weird. I don't know if I am, like, the right person to be commenting on it, but it does strike me as a little bit odd, just the dynamic of just having him there. So,
you know what else strikes me as odd? The Italian judge putting him in first and second place for all the PCS categories. It's really funny because it's right next to the Swedish judge who has him in, for the five categories, 11th, 10th, 6th, 13th, and 10th.
I mean, just in general, his PCS scores being in, like, the 8s to high 8s and some 9s is questionable at best.
I feel like he's been rising a lot in, like, the past couple years, and I don't know where it's come from, because it's not like he's a new skater.
I mean, we've already talked about where some of that, you know, potential rise could be coming from, you know, his coach. He did pretty all right for himself at this competition. Morrissey can be a loose cannon sometimes, like, you know, flops one segment, like, does amazing in another, and then somehow, you know.
I think the fact that he came in 7th in the short program, 5th in the free skate, and then 4th overall.
Yeah. The men be men.
Okay, and then obviously we gotta talk about Kazuki, right?
Yeah, our next shout out goes to, we mentioned him earlier, Kazuki Tomono, our favorite alternate.
He did, oh my god, his short was so good.
It was, I think it was his first time scoring over 100.
Yeah, definitely his personal best. Yeah, I can't help but think that the pressure probably got to him in the free skate because Japan finished in the top three after the short program. Even the media was asking and, like, making comments about, you know, possible Japan podiums. It's like, why do you do that to athletes? Like, come on. Like, he obviously gave such a great performance in the last post-Olympic Worlds. But he also was a sort of a newcomer then, and, like, no one, he didn't really have much of a reputation then, so.
Fun fact, he came in sixth, both here and at 2018.
But that one he climbed, and this one he kind of fell, so.
That's true.
But, you know, it's okay. I honestly, I just love that he just doesn't ever give the performance up, kind of like Riku and Ryuichi.
Like, he's a great performer. He also puts his all into his performance, even to his galas.
Yes. His gala
program is so fun.
It is so fun.
I just it makes me emotional about this podcast because I remember waking up at 5 a.m. to record our first episode where it was like you said, it was a couple months after Worlds 2018, and we were like, oh, let's do a little bit about Worlds 2018 at the end. And I was like, I really liked Kazuki. And now I'm here 4 years later. I really liked Kazuki.
Yes, yes.
And we were all like, man, like, can't wait to see more from him. Because, like you said, he was relatively new then. And, you know, look where he's gone, you know?
We gotta talk about poor Donovan and June.
But like we said, it was a relatively decent event. This was the sad part. June Hwan Cha, Donovan Carrillo both had withdrawals due to boot issues.
So, June performed in the short program, but literally withdrew right before the free skate. I think he was probably just assessing, like, just how feasible it was to do. I think that, you know, he probably was concerned about the spots.
I would rather he have withdrawn and not risked injury. He was skating with, he had broken boots.
I don't think he made the wrong decision. His safety is obviously the most important, but I think that his contemplation was due to the fact that, you know, skating for spots is, like, a big deal. He's Korea's, you know, sole hope, really, for getting two spots, and he was seen taping them a lot, his boots a lot. It definitely would have been a safety hazard, I think, for him to continue. I don't think he made the decision to withdraw lightly, so. And then as opposed to Donovan, his skates just never showed up, I guess.
Can't skate without skates.
Yeah, I saw somewhere that, like, they ended up arriving. I know that he was training on, like, unbroken and brand new boots, which is obviously a danger in and of itself. It's a safety hazard for skaters, and safety is of, like, you know, it's the most important thing for them. And it's honestly just really, really depressing just how many skaters have had issues with getting skates to them while traveling. Like, this is not a new thing, like, skaters not getting their equipment to them. Like, it happened, like, to Keegan, in Canadian Nationals. And, like, it's just really frustrating that, like, airlines in general have really inconsistent rules about bringing skates on as, like, personal items. I don't know, like, some airlines, like, classify skates as weapons, and some are okay with bringing them on, but it's just, like, they're so valuable. I mean, necessary for their, like, career. It's like how musicians travel with their instruments as carry-on. You're not checking in, like, a $10,000 cello. Like, I really hope that they rest well in the off-season. I mean, they've had such a long season. June, especially, just, like, constantly competing back to back to back to back is just...
I know.
Wild, wild, wild. But I've seen them both doing, like, magazine and shoots and stuff. So, you know, get that bag, guys.
Back to shout-outs. He got a shout-out in the Olympics, and it was well-deserved, and he's getting a shout-out here, and it's still well-deserved. Adam Xiaohimfa did fantastically, but he finished eighth and did very well at his home worlds. Like, he's just someone that we're very excited to see more of. Like, you know, I remember he kind of sort of made a name for himself on the Junior Grand Prix, and, like, has been slowly and steadily, like, you know, working his way up on the senior scene. He's very fun to watch, you know, very, obviously, partially due to his very fun programs, but, like, I'm excited to see more of him, you know? And I think, you know, he's kind of, from both here and the Olympics, he's gotten a big confidence boost.
Yeah, and then also Ilya, we gotta mention.
Ilya Malinin made his debut here, Ilya Malinin from the U.S., who's kind of been rising. You know, he had sort of a rocky time here.
He did really well in the short program.
100%, and he is definitely someone to watch out for in the realm of U.S. men.
Yeah, Ilya scored over 100.
Yeah, to be fair, like, I think we were kind of all confused at that, but, like, still.
Yeah.
The fact that it was his first senior competition, he's still getting that kind of score. Like, I am very, for lack of a better word, curious to see what happens.
Capital C, curious.
Yeah.
He did insanely well in the short program, I was not expecting, and then faltered in the free skate, but, like, you know, it's his first senior world again, so, you know. And also, shout out to Si Hong for doing his best too. He definitely did not have the Olympics that he wanted. He did not qualify for the free skate, but he at least redeemed himself here, so that was really good.
We also want to mention Canadian men. Roman Sadovsky had, after a very rough Olympics, Roman Sadovsky had a decent outing, ranked higher than Keegan Messing, who had a better Olympics. So, you know, it's just kind of curious to see where Roman's going to go from here. Keegan has said he wants to go one more season and then probably retire to, like, teach his baby how to fight bears or something.
And then finally, last event, ice dance. Yeah, I mean, up top, we of course need to talk about, you know, Alexandra Nazarova and Maxim Nikitin. What an emotional rhythm dance. They, just like the pairs, had re-choreographed their rhythm dance to Jamala, called 1944.
It was it was Ukraine's Eurovision entry in 2016, I believe.
Yes, it was. And they skated it just in their training gear, and they did not have much practice time, of course. Their lives were disrupted because of the invasion, and they said that they, just like the pairs, skated, you know, for the Ukrainian people to show that they were fighting, but then they withdrew after the rhythm dance. They just didn't have time to train. I think they wanted to change their free dance as well, but they didn't have time. And they just felt it was inappropriate for them to, you know, do their free dance as it was, you know, just because the situation at home. And of course, we respect them and their decision for them. And just, you know, hard to find the right thing to say in this situation, just wishing them just safety and health, and that they're continuing to train in Poland for the time being, as you know, they can't go back to Ukraine right now. So yeah, just wishing them safety and health, and that they're able to train to the best of their ability. So our medalists, we have our gold medalist, Gabriela Papadakis, Guillaume Cizeron from France. I mean, of course.
As to say, pretends to be shocked.
silver, Madison Hubbell, Zachary Donahue, and in bronze, Madison Chalk and Evan Bates from the U.S. I mean, what else is there to say? I mean, I think we could have predicted this before the event yeah. even started, right?
Papadakis and Cizeron broke every world record, rhythm dance, free dance, and total. I looked at the scores and I was like, that's a lot of world records.
But yeah, they have not decided yet on whether they want to continue. And they said they just don't want to make it like a hasty decision. Honestly, I think that it's very clear to me that they were waiting on the results from the Olympics to say whether or not they were going to definitively retire. And so since it's only been like a month since the Olympics and they've been training, they probably haven't thought that hard about it. They have not competed that much in the last couple of years because of COVID. They didn't even compete at Worlds last year. But yeah, I imagine that in the coming months we might see. They might do some shows, I guess, and then we'll see.
I was going to say that, like, you know, we're kind of on the lookout for retirements.
For a lot of these ice dance teams, yeah.
A lot of teams are, like, in a sort of will-they-won't-they stage after this quad.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of teams that are in limbo right now. Not a lot of them have definitively said whether or not they're going to retire. But unlike our next team, Maddie and Zach, who we knew since the beginning of the season were going to retire after Worlds here, they have said that they wanted to, like, kind of bookend because their first senior Worlds was in Nice 10 years ago.
What a nice decade of a senior career.
They got that bookend, and I was honestly really emotional watching their free dance. It was, like, the highlight of the event here.
They're, like, a huge staple.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. I feel like I've seen them so much these last 4 years. I haven't always liked their material. Honestly, most of the time I did not like their material.
Yeah, but like this season they've done really well and had some really solid programs.
I can't deny that they have really gorgeous big skating, like a huge presence on the ice. Definitely some of the best technical skaters of the field.
I think, like, you know, even though they have some hit or miss programs, like, we're gonna miss them.
For sure. They've been around for a really long time. And I think just, like, you know, knowing that this was their swan song, that, you know, this free dance just hit particularly hard because, again, they knew it was their last hurrah. I remember them talking about their music, that they chose a song by a French singer and they're skating it in France. I really hope that the singer saw it, and Sila. And, wishing them all the happiness in their retirement. I know Maddie is gonna get married.
Woo! Just wishing them the best. Thank you, Hubble and Donahue. And then the other Madison.
Yes, Maddie and Evan, I don't know if they're going to retire yet.
I don't think we've heard anything from them.
They haven't really said anything. I think they said that they didn't know. But, what can I say? I really hope that they retire this, free dance. Especially
their past couple free dances have been not good.
It's just that I need the exoticizing Maddie concept to end.
They keep doing it and it's so horrible.
It's so tiring. I can't.
They've had great free dances, like Fever from a couple years ago was really good. They can do better than this.
There are ways to sell this team that don't involve exoticizing Maddie. So if they continue, then, I mean, Evan has already been to 4 Olympics. I mean,
that's crazy.
But if he wants to keep going, then more power to him. So,
and that's your podium. So we do have some shout outs. You want to talk about Guignard and Fabry?
You know, the Olympics is in Milan, so I don't know if they're going to continue until then. They will be in their mid-30s then. They're definitely on the older side, but they clearly love skating together, so I really hope that they continue. Again, their material is also kind of hit or miss. I know a lot of people don't like their free dance, their atonement one. I'm obviously, like, yes, I think that she needs the green dress, but I still really love it, and they're just great technically, so.
Yeah, I was gonna say, they're very solid technically.
Again, if the Russians are out of the field, then it'll be interesting to see where all of the placements can kind of shake up. It's kind of like at the top, it's always been pretty secure of, like, it's Papadakis as a row, and Sinitsina and Katsala above, and then an American team.
One of the Maddies.
Well, yeah, one of the American teams and or Piper and Paul, but it seems like Piper and Paul have kind of fallen to the wayside. So a lot of the rankings below fourth are kind of up in the air. Like Stepanov and Bukin kind of like mixes up in there as well.
Fear and Gibson are rising to that level.
Yeah, and then like Guignard and Fabry have always been around there. Hawaii and Baker have been kind of up and down as well. But their free dance here was so good. Like they've had such an up and down career and season. They are definitely a slow start kind of team, but they really put it together for their most important competitions. Like they put it together for Nats, secured the Olympic spot. They did really well at the Olympics, and you know, they performed really well here. I just love their free dance. Like I think that Japan works really well for them. So yeah, thought that they finished well. And like we said, Piper and Paul they've kind of like fallen to the wayside. I don't know, like their programs this season are kind of lackluster. I think that it's just like they really hit something special with Vincent, and every program since then has felt like an imitation of what they were trying to achieve.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to replicate it.
Yeah, achieve with the
and
Vincent.
And it's just not working out. Because they're at their best when they do something unique and new.
Exactly.
Like, you know, when it doesn't have to be, like, you know, outrageously wild, but, you know, them trying to recreate their own unique programs. Like, it's just not them. It doesn't work for them.
It just feels so derivative.
Which is what they were known for not being.
Right. So I hope they go back to quirky and weird. So, yeah. Either way.
Yeah, we don't know what their plans are.
Yeah. Unfortunately, now Canada does not have three spots, so it's going to be a tough... It's going to be a fight. If Piper and Paul continue, again, they're another question mark of where they're going. I don't think that they're going to retire this season, at least. But I don't know if they're going to make it through the whole quad, but... Canada has, you know, them plus the Canadanes, Laurence Fournier Beaudry and Nikolai Sorensen, and as well as Lajoie Naga. So,
like we mentioned, Fear Gibson have been rising. They came in sixth, I believe.
Yeah, I was honestly really shocked to see them surpass the Canadanes. So.
Yeah, I'm not like quite sure where this momentum came from, other than, you know, they're with IAM. Ice Academy of Montreal.
Yeah. I mean, all of them. All of the aforementioned teams are, except for...
That's true.
Piper and Paul. And Guinard and Fabry. Literally. But, yeah, I mean, I guess then, also another question mark is whether Kana Muramoto and Daisuke Takahashi are going to continue.
They should be announcing... They said they would announce their plans soon. I mean, I hope they continue. I think they're a really good team.
And, honestly, it's just, like... More of what they represent is, like, important to me. You know, Daisuke basically created a new life. Like, Daisuke competed at Worlds, like, 10 years ago as a skater, as a single skater. And
2010 Olympics was a medalist.
It's crazy that he is, in 2022, competing as an ice dancer. Obviously, like, the technical, you know... There were some technical issues with their programs here, but it's, again, just a matter of, like, what it represents that he's at Worlds as an ice dancer after being a single skater. So hopefully it will inspire more skaters to follow in his footsteps.
Like, yeah, because Japanese ice dance, like Japanese pairs, could use some support. Yeah, and that pretty much wraps up our Worlds discussion. If you want to hear any more thoughts about, you know, the present and future of the sport, we talked a lot about that in our Olympics episodes. There was a lot of discussion that had to be heard there.
Thank you for listening. We hope to see you for our next episode.
We want to say thank you to our transcribing and quality control team, Evie, hi Evie, for editing, and Gab for our graphic design.
If you want to get in touch with us, then feel free to contact us via our website, inthelowpodcast.com, or on our Twitter. You can find our episodes on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify.
If you enjoyed the show and want to help support the team, please consider making a donation to us on our Ko-fi page. And we would also like to give a huge thank you to all the listeners who have contributed to and supported our team thus far. You can find all the links to our social media pages and our Ko-fi on our website.
If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then please consider leaving a rating and review if you enjoyed the show. Thanks for listening. This has been Kat.
And Car. See you later.
Bye.
Bye. Figure skating.